want to say this quickly. If there is one with us today without the Lord Jesus Christ, as far as the Scripture is concerned, and the Word of God is concerned, you're still in your sins. And the only remedy for your sins is really to trust in Christ Jesus. We will have an opportunity this afternoon to proclaim the glad tidings. The second thing that I would like to suggest, we have heard about the seriousness of sin. But lest there is a believer wants to start afresh with the Lord, chapter 1 comes in that if we confess our sins, and the encouragement, I'm going to encourage every believer, brother and sister alike, that if you know right now, forget the past. I'm not talking about the past. The past is history. We want to start a fresh walk with the Lord. But I'm going to challenge you today that if you know that there is something in your life you are practicing and living in sin in the present moment, the remedy for it is confessing your sins to the Lord. He is faithful and just, and we thank God for Him. In between confession, and in between that there is an advocate, just because God always is a gracious God, He always had provision, because He will always have the victory. But in between, there is this verse that was presented to us, I write unto you that ye sin not. Listen, the attitude that young people take, you know what? The attitude that we all take is that if God has provisions for me, and if I have a remedy that I can confess, you know what? I might as well do everything and anything I desire because God in mercy has a provision for me. Well, you know what? I have to say this. If a believer thinks that way, I'm going to challenge you to check really your heart and see if you know Christ Jesus as Savior. If you think that way. Because that's a foolish thinking. If a believer thinks, let me do whatever I want to do, I have a provision. But it's a matter of preference that what the believer is saying, I'm preferring, and I have decided with the Lord's help, by the Spirit's help, that I am going to walk with Christ under the influence of the Spirit of God, and we're going to discuss the fleeing and all these things, and I am not going to sin, period. This is where we want to be. This is what the Scripture encourages us. We know our nature. We know all the things you might come and bring an argument, but you know our weakness and this, and the flesh is weak. The Spirit is willing, and so forth and so on. But I want to close with this for a moment. God never asks us to do something that He doesn't think we're capable of.
Amen.
So if the Scripture says, ye sin not, God knows that you are capable. You know why are you capable? Because you have the Spirit of God indwelling you. And because the Spirit indwells you, you are capable not to sin. And this is where we want to start. And this is where I'm going to encourage myself first and all of us to be real before the Lord. And start fresh with our blessed Savior.
Let's just add one more definition. We have lawlessness. We have things that are committed. Or sins of commission. But then there's also omission. Not one's really gets really warm when we start to think of that. We know the things that we should not do, and so if I do them, I can get a guilty conscience and feel bad about it. But James tells us that to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him is sin. And that gets really warm because what happens is now I know what's right to do and I'm not doing it. That's also sin.
Another reminder, this is not going to be exchanged from this side to that side. Please, if you have any question even, feel free to ask. And I'm wondering if somebody can help us along. Where did this self-will start from? Because it seems to me from the Scripture, there is one that is the source behind it. And someone could help us is, where did it start from? Someone having their self-indulgence and self-will to do whatever they want to do, and disobey God. So maybe we can open it that way and move slow.
Perhaps Brother Dominic could read from Genesis 3.
Go ahead.
Genesis 3. We'll start with verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, and your eyes shall be opened. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So we see right here that the source is the serpent or Satan. But what's occurring is exactly what Brother Dave said before, that the woman and our Eve, also as Adam, both exhibited a great sense of self-will. Because Satan said to them, for God knows, in the day you grew up, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. This appealed to Eve and Adam. They wanted to be like God. When we read in Isaiah, this is originally how Satan felt. He wanted to be like God. It was his own self-will, and that's how he felt. We see in verse 6 that the result, you really see the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The three things we'll probably get to later, also in 1 John. This sin was all about the woman seeing something she wanted, taking something she wanted, and then passing it on to her husband.
May be helpful to read those verses in Isaiah that you just referred to, Kevin, where the devil fell even before any of this happened. It's in Isaiah 14. And I think it's very instructive about the whole idea of self-will. Isaiah 14, verse 12, says, how art thou fallen from heaven, Lucifer, son of the morning? Thou art cut down to the ground that didst prostrate the nations. And thou that didst say in thy heart, I will ascend into the heavens, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit upon the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Nonetheless art thou brought down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. So there you have what the devil basically said, hey, before God even made people, before he made Adam and Eve, you have a person, a being, saying, I want to be like God. I want this. I want that. And it's something we see in ourselves, even as babies. As soon as we're able to speak, all we say is, I want this, and I want that, give me this. And, you know, parents try to tell us, you know, use the word please, you know. And even when you do use the word please, it's still, I want this, you know. Please give me that, because I want it. And so there's this idea of the devil had a very, very important place. He had the highest position. God gave that to him. But he wasn't happy with what God gave him. He wanted more. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to go beyond what God had given him. And that's the same thing that man did. God said, you can eat everything you want. Just stay away from this fruit. Don't eat this fruit. In the day that you eat this fruit, you will die. Well, the devil came and he said, you're not going to die. And she said, okay, I believe you. Because you know what? It looks good. It looks like it tastes good. And it's going to give me something I don't already have. It's going to make me like God. I want it. And the I want is what she went along with, as opposed to what God said.